Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today. I want to talk to you for a few minutes, and there's three words I want to say, just three words, and I want you to get them, and when I say it, I want you to write them down. And these three words are going to help you, Weldon, Earth City, Sunset, with your business. These words are going to help you with your sex life. Can I get an amen up in here? These words are going to change your life. Are you ready for these three words? These three words, God spoke to me one day when I was sitting around a couple guys who I thought, you know, I was thinking about the way they run from job to job, thing to thing, relationship for the relationship. And then God spoke to me and He said these three words. Are you ready for these three words? I don't feel like you are. I just feel like you're soaking wet with the rain. It's just, come on, just one more time. Shout amen.
Amen.
Here they are. You ready? Don't go, grow. Don't go, grow. I'm going to say it again. Don't go, grow. Have you ever noticed in your front yard or around your neighborhood, there's like a big tree? Think about that right now. You never see the tree go, dang, it's raining. I'm tired of getting wet. I'm moving. You never see it go, you know, it's really hot. I need some shade. I'm moving. A tree is good because it remains planted. It sticks in one location. Everything's not perfect. It's cold. Winter, spring, summer, or fall. Any old people understand that tune? The young ones and the millennials are like, what's he doing? I wear these shoes for you, millennials. My daughter, she dressed me today, by the way. She's like, Dad, you got to wear that. I'm like, I feel so stupid. I don't like it. She said, Dad, you got to be cool. You got to wear that. So I didn't want to wear it. So if you don't like it, send an email to ashtoncrank.com. Come on, somebody right now. So here we go. Don't go, grow. So we go from relationship to relationship, job to job. Because we don't grow, we get mad, we leave. Because our feelings are unchecked, we don't remain. If you want to build a great organization, if you want to build a great life, and I know you do, if you want to maximize the full potential that God has for you, because He's got big things for you, then you don't go, you grow. You discuss things. You don't run off. You stay calm. Now, there's a scripture that I want to read to you, and it's so wise. Matthew 21:16. Did you not hear these little children? The disciples asked Jesus. He said, yes. Jesus replied, have you never read from the lips of children and infants, the Lord hath called forth praise? One translation says, for the lips of little children, God has ordained strength. Another translation says, from the mouth of little children, you get the truth. Little kids are like drunk people. They tell you the truth. Come on, somebody. Drunk guy's like, that, why did you cut your hair that way? It looks totally stupid. And a little kid will be like, your hair looks stupid. Okay. Truth comes from little kids. So in the honor of this scripture, I saw on YouTube about a week ago, a family that's having trouble, and the mom and dad were probably going to get a divorce. And this little kid is smarter than they are. Check this out.
Mom, are you ready to be his friend?
Yes.
Try not to be that high up to be friends. I want everything to be low, okay?
Okay.
Just try your best. I don't want you and my dad to be replaced and me's again. I want you and my dad to be placed as settled and be friends. I'm not trying to be mean. I just want everyone to be friends. And if I can be nice, I think all of us can be nice too. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm trying to do my best in my heart. Nothing else than that. I want you, Mom, my dad, everyone to be friends. I want everyone to be smiling.
Come on, give it up for that kid. I want everyone to be smiling. It's just, he's kind of like, it's really awkward being four and way smarter than you two guys, but I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to close at the end with going, everybody just be nice. Cause settle down, be calm, don't be so mean. I don't want to split up my toys between your house and their house. I don't want to meet at the Galleria Mall every other weekend. Everybody be nice. Come on, give it up for that kid one more time. Wisdom. Out of the mouth of babes, God has ordained strength. Wisdom is the principal thing. Psalms 49, verse 3, let's read it together. It says, my mouth shall speak wisdom, which is the opposite of dumb stuff. And the meditation, here's the key, of my heart shall give me understanding. So let's talk about what we say and meditation for a minute. Have you ever been driving down the road alone in the car and you were fine, but then you were alone with your thoughts and then you let out like, and you didn't even know you had a problem, but you're like, anybody ever done this? Come on, raise your hand if you've ever done this. What's going on is you are alone with this meditation, and you're thinking, I can't believe Shaquita said that to me. I cannot believe that she said that to me. I'm just angry. I can't believe that Bubba said that to me. I mean, I don't have to take that after all. When I was dating and I decided to marry him, I had many people after me, and then I settled for him anyway. I can't believe it. Your meditation is actually aggravating you and bringing depression and bad thoughts. And now, what, out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says what? The mouth speaks. So now when you're put under pressure, you're squeezed, you go to release something out of your mouth, and then mean things come out, bad things. Anybody ever said anything that you wish you had not said? Raise your hand. Anybody ever sent a text and it went zoop, and you thought, dang, I wish I had not said that. Come on. Anybody in a relationship ran to the phone and tried to delete it when you got with them again because you knew they didn't text, yet didn't check it yet? Only a few people. I've done that. I thought, man, I want to try to get to Nicole's phone and delete that. But it's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church today. I'm going to be honest with you. Okay, so wisdom is the principal thing. So watch that meditation. Then it says that our heart gives us understanding. So then Proverbs 2, notice Proverbs and Psalms full of wisdom. If you don't do anything every day, at least read a little bit of Psalms and Proverbs. It says, so incline your ear to wisdom, that's why we go to church, and apply your heart to understanding. Understanding is the ability to apply wisdom. The truth that sets you free is just understanding. So you understand, if I do this, I get this. It cause and effect. Everybody shout that. Cause and effect. One more time. What? Cause and effect. So at your last job, you did that, and it didn't win friends and influence people. In your last relationship, you responded that way, and it didn't work. So what makes us think that it's going to work now? Because they say the definition of insanity, right, is the person who continues to do the same thing over and over, expecting different results but never getting it. So we have to know what triggers our emotions, what makes them want to throw us overboard, or what makes us go overboard instead of really flowing with understanding and wisdom. Because wisdom is the principal thing. And nobody has more wisdom than God. He created the heavens and the earth. Nobody told God today what to do. He has it under control. So the more wisdom we get, and if we can apply it, somebody ought to shout amen, all campuses. If we can apply it, it can change our life. Knowing, that's why, you know, growth track is so important, because you can figure out your personality, what it is that sets you off. Some things are just genetic. Like if you were ugly, it's probably because your mama was ugly. Come on, somebody else, amen. If you're pretty, it's probably because your daddy was pretty or your mama was pretty, right? Some things are genetic. I'm predisposed, I know my personality, I'm what they call a sanguine choleric. So I'm strong enough to lead an organization, but I'm sanguine enough to be friendly. But the sanguine part makes me think, oh, where's my car keys? But then the choleric part's like, heck no, it's not going to happen. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Then you got some of these musicians. All different people have, you know, different personalities. So growing up, I watched my dad. And I must suggest to you that the reason why a lot of us have problems, part of the reason why our kids are going to need therapists is because of us. If we don't clip the wires, get wisdom and go, I would respond that way, but I'm not going to. Because now I have wisdom and understanding, and I'm not going to go overboard. For instance, this week I went to, yesterday I went to a restaurant with Nicole. It's not a fancy restaurant. It was just like, anybody ever went to a restaurant, it wasn't a thing because you were celebrating an event. It's because you were hungry and you just went there to eat. So you were there to eat. And so we sit down and Nicole was on the phone. She's running the church. She's got a lot going on. I'm not offended. She does that a lot. So she's walking in. We're kind of guiding her. She's beautiful. And she sits down at the place. She's still going to town. Me and Ashton are over here at this booth because this is like an Applebee's type of place. And this guy who comes up to take the order, when he goes to take the order, he is just really staring at Nicole in kind of an inappropriate way, which doesn't bug me because I get that all the time. And then we have a huge church, so you get people that want to hug her. I'm used to that. I'm not like a jealous guy. Okay, she's beautiful. So I watch him. I think, oh, man, he's really into her, but no big deal. And so I don't even care. But now I'm looking. I ask him a question about, is this Cobb salad, is this grilled or fried? Because I don't eat grilled stuff. Fried stuff. I don't eat grilled stuff. I want fried stuff, right? That was my flesh talking. Stop that in Jesus' name. So now I'm getting ready to order, right? And I try to ask him a question. He's not paying attention. And I try to ask him anything. He goes, oh, excuse me? And I go, oh, hey, just, and I didn't address it. Left alone. Didn't even bug me. I said, hey, I'm asking about this. And then he said, hey, I'm not here to take your order right now. I'm here to take your drink order. How many of y'all know automatically you're like, well, you're probably going to starve with tips because your personality is horrible. But no big deal. I'm cool with that too. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. You're like, I'm saying this is what keeps you from going overboard. Then when I sit there for a minute, Ashton's next to me. And then I said, well, you know what? When we do order, I want to get this question. And he says, hey, I also want to let you know that chivalry is alive and well at this restaurant. And she, as he's staring at her, and she don't even hear this conversation, or she would have shoved that phone down his throat. Trust me, I know her. She goes, chivalry is rivalry, so she will be ordering first. So the first thing I do is I think, what would my dad do? I want to teach you something about chivalry, okay? Number one, I've been married to her for 20 years, you perv, and I'm here to tell you I know what she wants to eat, and I was going beyond chivalry, and I'm making the woman food. But first, okay, but instead, I sit there, and I was like, I was hearing, chivalry is rivalry. Chivalry is rivalry. And I'm watching the restaurant full of people who they were looking like, there he is. Because when you eat here in this town, you're like, oh, there's Pastor David. So I know the worst thing I can do is get arrested right now in this restaurant. So, oh, yeah. And so Ashley goes, let's just go. So then when he walked away, I just told Nicole, hey, let's go. And she looked, she just trusts me. She's just walking out of the restaurant. She doesn't know. And he looks up like, oh, man, baby, come back. What happened? But it was over because wisdom says, you don't have to put your dog in this fight. You just got to get up and go to the next place that has hot wings for $2.99. Come on, Earth City. Come on, Weldon. I can see you. We're streaming live right now to you guys. Somebody shout, that's good. So instead of, at my family, we don't. I watched a guy one time come up and hug my mom kind of inappropriately. And the guy goes, he looks at my dad. You got to understand my dad. He was top secret crypto in the armed forces. Top secret crypto there, Highway Patrol Academy, cop, kind of aggravated his whole life, good macho, mean guy. And the guy said, oh, if you don't mind, we're just a hugger in my family. And my dad said, I hope you don't mind. We're just slappers in my family. And so that's where I came from. See what I'm saying? So I go, what would my dad do? And I need to say WWJD. What would Joel do? We got to go right now. I just can't let you grope Victoria like that. I never like to close a meal without leaving with cuffs on my hand. Come on, somebody. See what I'm saying? See, you got to know when you need to go, okay? So that's man overboard. So just like I stayed calm and got out of there, you got to stay calm. Because if you send that text, you're going to hurt her. You're going to hurt him. She's going to wall off. But when you incline your ear and you say, wait a minute, I'm going to incline my ear to wisdom and understanding. I'm also going to make sure that I'm speaking forth words of wisdom, and then I'm just being nice. And then here's the big kicker, and you're not going to like this at any campus, and I don't like this, but we're the problem. Thank you, sir. Here we go. James 4, verse 1. I'm really going to annoy the heck out of you, Weldon, with this word you, okay? What causes fights and quarrels among you? Do they not come from your desires that battle within you? Y'all seeing a pattern here? Verse 2, you want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. But I want what I want. Like Burger King will give it to me the way I want it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, you selfish little turkey. I added that. That's the David Crank paraphrase version. That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Okay? So in Microsoft Word, when I created this lovely sermon, I went ahead and put them all in blue for me, and then I thought I'll put them in blue so I don't miss them because I want to count. I'm a homeschooler, so I took my shoes off and I said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 16 times in three verses, he said, you the problem, David Crank. And you could have heard a pin drop. You the problem. So most of the time, the reason why it's a man overboard, the reason why we can't grow but we go is because we go, we're not going to take that. Do you know who I am? I don't have to take that. After all, it was kind of a mercy date that I went on out with you anyway. And I shouldn't have taken this job because I'm better than this job. I'm more educated. No, that's a you attitude. Wisdom says, hey, I can't be grateful and hateful. So if I'm being hateful, then I'm not grateful. And there's kids around the world starving. People love to have a job. I don't like the job, but I got a good job. So I'm going to enjoy this job and I'm not going to go, but I'm going to grow. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise. All year long. Oh, it's a hot in here. Don't go, grow. Everybody shout it. Come on, all campuses, what? How do you build a great church? You just keep going when it's raining, when it's snowing, when they like you, when they don't like you. How do you raise good kids? You just keep doing the right thing long enough, and they'll hate you around 13 years old. They'll hate you a little bit, and then around 18 or 19, they'll come back, and then next thing you know, they'll want to be with you all the time. People go through the pattern, a cycle. So when we figure that out, that how you do and become great is you stay in the battle, calm in the battle with wisdom. Now, if you respond and you get your cues from the movies, I like the movies. We're friends with Hollywood. A lot of our friends are in Hollywood. Some of the greatest producers in Hollywood and famous people in Hollywood. I mean, we're buddies. I'm not anti. I don't preach against stuff. I preach for stuff. But I don't take my cues or my spiritual advice from Hollywood. They're jacked. It's funny, but I got to understand that's a movie and that doesn't work in real life. You can't rob a bank and blow up five buildings all in an hour. Come on, somebody understand. So we need to understand that the principles of God's word give us wisdom that make our life better. Now, pride. Let's talk about pride. Another subject that isn't fun, but we have to settle this in our past to see our future. Pride demands its own way, insists on its own way, and can't admit when it's wrong. And God forbid, if you're right, you can't admit you're wrong because you're right. I'm going to stand up for my rights because I know I'm right. Do you know you can be right and end up being wrong? I'm going to shout it again. You can be right, but the bigger person says, no, I don't have to do that. Especially when people offend you and hurt you. Jesus went to the cross and did no wrong, but he did what was right. And if that had been us, we'd be like, I ain't dying for you. I ain't never done nothing. I passed up 4 hot girls and 2 Krispy Kremes. Somebody ought to shout amen. I didn't do this and I didn't do that. It's about me. But with Jesus, it wasn't about me. It was about us. So the more we're about other people and we're not self-serving, but we are serving other people, you know what? That's the best way to make people love you. That's the best way to make people like you. That's wisdom. That's how you don't go, grow. So you learn to say, even with your kids, you have to learn this. You have to say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I can't tell you how many times I've said this to Ashton, my son, who some of you guys don't know. He's not biologically my son, but at 7 years old, adopted him when I married Nicole. And he's my boy, okay? He's my son. But I had to tell him, I was wrong. Ashton, I've never done this thing before. I don't know how to be a dad. Would you forgive me? Oh, dad has no problem. As a result, they're my best friends. My daughter, I don't go through this 13-year-old bad attitude thing with her because we're just all friends. We just love each other. And she's been raised in church. Now, here's the key. Now, you're going to think I'm saying this because, oh, yeah, you're in the church business, so you would say that you need to raise your kids in church. Okay. Let me tell you, I've seen it both ways. The guitar player up here is the MD. His mama used to drive me and my brother to skating because we didn't have a driver's license. She raised him in church. He's still here. Married a girl in church. The guys who built all these sets, who are some of the top executives in our organization, they were born in the church. And then they married girls in the church. And then the list goes on and on. My top staff is all people that were raised in the church. I did life with these people. Pastor Morgan and Pastor and a lot of our pastoral team, that like the head hawks at the trough at this organization. These girls were raised in the church. Then I watched people who they were intermittent, which is unwise. Now, we go to church when we want, but we got other stuff. Or this happens a lot. We get in the world, and I'm not against you having a glass of wine, but if you abuse alcohol, if you take, I just need a drink, then you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because if you drink excessively, now here's what happens. Everything you are is amplified in your kids. So if you were sporadic in church, they won't go to church. If you drank a little and a slightly overboard and they saw you that way, they'll be raging alcoholics. Now, I'm not telling you something you don't know. I just want to make you aware. Always be wise enough to learn from other people's mistakes. I don't want to crash an airplane because I want to try to see if this combo works. I want to read about what doesn't work. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, raise your hand. Our city, come on. Well, then, here. So respond appropriately and go, I'm not going to go. I'm going to grow. And I am going to try to get it right because I'm not going to allow my emotions to lead my life when God in his word should lead my life. So I respond right. But pride will tell you, do it your way. Pride will say, don't ever say you're wrong because your kids need to know you don't make mistakes. People don't want to know it all. They want to learn it all. Come on, somebody ought to shout that. People don't want to know it all. They want to learn it all. So let's all just practice. Shout, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I was wrong.
I was wrong.
Try it one more time. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I was wrong.
I was wrong.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
Okay, so basically, shallow men believe in luck. Strong men believe in cause and effect. You pull this lever, you push that button, that happens. Oh, you sure are lucky. You're lucky with your kids. No, I'm not lucky with my kids. I'm blessed, but I'm not lucky. I don't even use the word luck because it comes from Lucifer. So you sure are Lucifer with your kids. I am not lucky, I'm blessed. So I look at my life and go, cause and effect. How many of y'all in here have ever flown on an airplane? Come on, all campuses, raise your hand if you've flown on an airplane. How many of y'all in here are a pilot? You have a pilot's license. Raise your hand. If you're a pilot, you are a pilot. Let me see your hand. No, no pilot license. Okay. There's a difference. We got one guy over here. Where are you? Because I want to see you, Mr. Pilot, because I need an extra one. There you go. Okay. So there's a difference between riding on an airplane and flying the airplane. You go through training. You learn cause and effect. You have to learn a lot about the weather. There's a difference. So you can ride on an airplane, or you can know what causes the plane to fly. Thrust over drag equals lift. All the stuff they teach you in flight school. So in life, whatever it is that you're studying, and you're good, you're an accountant, you're a lawyer, you're whatever it is, you went through training vocationally to be the best at who you are. I'm just here to tell you this weekend that God has some really big things for you, but if we don't get it right at home with the kids, if we don't get it right at home with mama, then if mama ain't happy, you know they say they ain't nobody happy, or if daddy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You, dad, are the spiritual barometer for your house. As you go, so does your house. So wisdom says, I want to teach and train my kids in the way they should go. How do you do that? It's not like, do as I say. No, they're going to be what you are. They'll be what you are. It's wisdom. So I want us to get rid of this pride and say, well, you know what? I am going to start talking to the kids about God. I am going to start reading my Bible in front of them. But I'm going to wait a couple weeks because I don't want them to think it was your idea. That's pride. My dad, every day of his life, I've never seen him not do this. He would take his Bible, lay it up against, they had like a fruit bowl. I'm talking as an adult. Yeah, I always had like this fake bowl of fruit because he didn't eat fruit. But he'd lay his Bible up against that fruit bowl and he would eat his cereal every morning and he wouldn't say anything. He'd just be reading and eating, reading and eating. Do you know I still see him in my mind's eye reading and eating the Word of God? And you know what that did for me? It taught me that a real man, and we're talking about a tough guy, but a real man says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It is the wise thing to do. It is the smart, come on somebody, it is the smart thing to do. It's a cause and effect. I wonder why my marriage is bad. Well, let's talk about it a minute on campuses. When you guys first went out on a date, you opened the door for her. Now you're like, your arm's broke. When you, back in the day, and you guys know this is true, when you went out to eat, you would listen to her talk. And then you would like bonus point it up and you would go, you don't say. That's interesting. But now you're like, hey, give me the short version, okay? Women just talk too much. There's too much going on. You just shut her off and wall her off. And then she'll go to work or at the restaurant and the guy will pay attention to her. Somebody ought to see what I'm saying. I don't want my daughters looking for love from somebody else. They're going to get their love from me. I don't want my wife looking for love from somebody else. They're going to get their love from me. And I'm going to be humble enough to tell them I was wrong. I was being a jerk. I'm out of control. Will you forgive me? Do you think that makes them love me more or disrespect me? This is how you win friends and influence people. You don't go, you grow. Okay, so let's back up. When I first got married, you're like, we're going all the way back there? How long are we going to be? I decided to stream this service because I could tell you needed it, so we're just going to hammer on you until noon. That's just the way it's going to be. Come on, give God praise today. So when I first got married, Nicole, because I was hurt, and I was rejected, and my wife left me after 8 years. I was like, that ain't happening again. So I never would really give myself to Nicole. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. I won't look her in the eyes. I really didn't want her to leave. That's why I was kind of being like, I don't care if you leave. We get a little fight. Remember one day we were jogging and I called her by accident because I've been married to this girl for a long time and we got kind of an intense time of fellowship and we were jogging and then I called her by my ex name and she's like, oh, no, you didn't. And she was so mad and I was kind of winning the argument, so she was looking to run anyway. Come on, go with me on this right now. And so she ran back to the house and then she's so long-legged. She got a 35-inch inseam. There's no way I could catch her. So I thought, I'm just going to let her run. I'm going to walk back to the house, let her calm down just a little bit. But what was happening is all the pain of my past, this is wisdom, I was making her pay for what somebody else did. And because I was afraid she would leave, I would say this for real. I don't care if you leave. I could care less. Because I heard my dad say my whole life, women are like buses. They run over 20 minutes. Just get a different one. How many of y'all know that's a horrible thing to say? And I didn't believe that, but I was trained under that before my dad's mind got renewed. But then I realized one day, I thought, you know what? I don't want her to leave. So I just told her, hey, the reason why I'm being this way is I'm just afraid you're going to leave. She's like, I'm never going to leave you. I love you. And then we adopted this new statement that we would never, ever leave. And I told her, I'm like, at the end of the day, what I really want to say is, if you ever leave, I'm going with you. So if you leave, you can't leave me because I'm going to go with you. And then my dad was always like, don't you ever put a woman's name on your arm or anything, because you never know, they might leave you. Whatever, put your own name on there, but don't put anybody else on there. And then after that conversation that we had years and years and years ago, I came back home from a meeting I did and put her name on my arm, and she knew, because she knew my dad's thoughts. She thought, okay, he's not thinking like his dad anymore. He's thinking like his father right now. And God did a work in his heart, and he was jacked up. He was miserable and mean. Somebody ought to help me. But Jesus did a work in him. Come on, everybody, give God praise, all campuses right now. So you got to get your mind right. The problem is in our head. The reason why we go and don't grow, it's a head problem. Look at your neighbor and say, you got problems in your head. 2 Timothy 2, verse 23. But refuse, shut your mind against, have nothing to do with, trifling, ill-informed, stupid controversies or ignorant questionings, for you know they foster strife and breed quarrels. This is Mr. Miyagi in my mind. I'm having fun right now. and servant of the Lord must not be fighting or contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone, mild-tempered. How many of y'all know that didn't sound like my dad and didn't sound like me prior to my conversion? Go ahead, raise your hand. I know you're like, oh man, I didn't get you a card for Pastor Appreciation Month, so I really don't want to hurt you right now. Just go ahead. Preserving the bond of peace. He must be skilled and patient, forbearing, willing to suffer long. So it means while you're growing pains. Remember when you were a kid and you're like, oh my gosh, my legs are hurting, growing pains. Every organization has it. We went from 1,000 people to 2,000. We had growing pains. We went from 5,000 to 10,000 people. We had growing pains. Our whole database come unglued. It was crazy. We went from 10,000 to 18,000 members. The wheels are coming off. We don't even know how to handle it. Don't ask me. I'm a homeschooler. I don't know what to do. You know that. Because it was growing pains. So right now, instead of saying it's getting really hard, you stay hard. You don't give up. You don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. You walk by faith and not by sight and go, you know what? My marriage is bad right now, but part of the reason it's bad is I've been mean. So I'm going to start sowing seeds of love. I'm going to start opening the door and being nice. Now, on the door opening thing, I was never a door opener. I don't know why. Just never was. Never saw it happen. But about a year ago, I was walking to the car, and I heard the Lord say, I want you to start opening the door for my daughter, talking about Nicole. And I'm like, okay. So I went and opened the door, but my mind told me, because there was a bunch of people around, pride said, don't open it right now, open it later at another time, but don't do it now because she's going to think you're doing it because people are watching. But I thought, the Lord just told me to open the door, so I'm going to open the door. But my pride's like, don't do that now. Come on, I'm talking. It's so quiet. I'm assuming all campuses are struggling right now, is this one. But I opened it. And she looked at me in shock. She goes, well, huh-huh. And then the next day, we were in a hurry, and we were running to work or something. She went over to get in, and I was getting in. And then I thought, well, we were just in a hurry. And I knew I want to be disobedient to the Lord if I don't do it. And so I said, ah! I ran over there, and she went, what happened to you? And I didn't want to say, the Lord told me to open the door for you, so I'm opening the door for you. I'm like, I just need to open the door for you. So she's like, ah. She had a skirt on. She moved in, and she kind of spread her legs a little bit as she closed the door, and I realized I heard the Lord say again, maybe when the Lord made it was the flesh, this is a great idea. I like this. This is good. This is good. Come on. Some of y'all look like, I don't think I ought to hear that in church. Then don't go see a movie. Don't treat me like I'm a pervert. I like her. But see, now I'm investing in her. I'm sowing seeds of love in her. It's the wise thing. And then she never expects it. Even this week, you know, this has been going on a long time now, but I went to go get the door, and she said, honey, you don't have to do that. We're in a hurry. I said, no. I want to do that. And she played her game with me, and we had fun, and then that makes me order for her at restaurants. Come on, somebody go with me on this right now. It's wisdom. So back to that scripture in 1 Timothy, it said, shut your mind against and have nothing to do with ill-informed, unedifying speech. Just realize you don't have to put your dog in every fight. You don't always have to, well, I'll tell you what I think. We don't need to know what you think. All the time, I'm like, today I got a text from a couple different people, and it was good what they were saying, but I needed to kind of tell them why I said what I said, but then I thought, I don't need to do that. It doesn't matter. That's just my pride wanting to let them know. Who cares? When you get rid of your pride, your whole marriage goes better. Your whole life, I got to be this. I got to be, I. You, so it's about you. You. Me. Jesus wasn't about himself. He said, I must be about my Father's business. I'm telling you, this is the weekend that we need to arrive at the decision that most of the problems that we have are cause and effect. The reason our marriage is bad? I hear the Lord saying this. And I know some of you are like, oh my gosh, God's talking to you? That scares me. It should scare you that a preacher doesn't hear from God, okay? So I'm hearing from God right now, and he's talking to me. I'm just ministering, so I heard him say, stop a minute and deal with marriage problems one more time. Because a lot of you guys are hurting in relationships. Watch what, this is cause and effect. People come to me all the time at church, at all campuses, and they'll come up. A guy that I see occasionally, here and there, it's happened thousands of times. And they'll come in and they'll go, "Pastor, pray for me." Who are you? "I go to this church. I've never really seen you, but you know, I'm thinking this. My wife, you know her? Oh, yeah, I see her. Yeah. She left me. All I said was..." No, that's not all you said. "You've been saying dumb stuff for quite a few years, and I haven't seen you at church in a long time. I just want her back. I told God to come back. I'll go to church. I'll be good. I'll be nice." I'm like, why, Bubba, could you not have figured this out 7 months ago? Because now she's on the loose to someone that's being nice to her. Come on, give God praise today. I'm fixing stuff right now. So pride says, "I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to go there and watch that skinny jean wearing preacher that thinks he knows everything. I told you that I'm jacked up. I told you that I make mistakes. This is an honest, organic, no GMO. This is Whole Foods, y'all. I'm screwed up telling another person who's screwed up that we can be tuned up." Somebody ought to help me right now to do what God called us to do. So here's what happens. When it all goes man overboard, when you did not make the course correction, now the marriage is upset. So here's what happens. She does leave. Now I watch him go to church. I watch him not go out with the guys every day. I watch him take care of himself once again. Shave. You know, before, like, there were hairs coming out of his nose. Now he's looking good. He's got a haircut. He's starting to get ripped up. Now maybe it's the other way around. Now she's not just wearing, she's actually putting on makeup again. And now she wasn't that way with him, but now she's not just wearing sweatpants every day. She's got on like some, she went out and bought some tight pants. Come on, everybody looks good in tight pants. Somebody's going to like you in your tight pants. "Oh, I don't have the right butt for this." If you buy the right pants, there'll be a man that is attracted. Somebody ought to help me right now to what you got. Work that thing, girl. Come on right now. Work that thing. Walk it. Make it wiggle. Ah, yeah. You'll get a man. I'm talking wisdom right now. Some people are like, "I didn't come to church to hear this." You're not at the last church. I noticed you left that church. This is a church of freedom and deliverance to let you have your best life now. So take care of your body now. Take care of your marriage now. Cause and effect. Fix it. So that way, you can enjoy your life. As I close, all campuses, here's the... How many of y'all know there are 10 commandments? Raise your hand if you know there are 10 commandments. Everybody shout, "There are 10.
There are 10.
Now I want you to shout, "PD added one."
PD added one.
Okay, so now there are 11. Okay, so there's 11. Are you ready for the 11th commandment? Here it is. This will change your life. Thou shalt drop it. Drop it. "You don't know what he did to me in 1999. That's when I caught him, blah, 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 blah. You don't know what she did to me in 2013. Blah, 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 blah." No, thou shalt drop it. Let's all say it all campuses.
Thou shalt drop it.
Now for all the Catholics, thou shalt drop it. You need to drop it and let it alone. You need to let it go. Let it drop, leave it, let it go. The 11th commandment is what? Thou shalt drop it. All campuses again. Why? Thou shalt drop it. So when it comes back in your mind what she did, you go, "Satan, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to receive that thought. I'm casting that down. Thou shalt drop it." Then you have cause and effect. You go, "I'm not thinking that way anymore. I'm renewing my mind. I'm going to church. I'm getting wisdom. And now I'm going to tell my kids I'm sorry." And by the way, that 26-year-old that I said I'm sorry to, who has a wonderful dad in Dallas, he didn't move with his dad in Dallas. He looked at me with tears in his eyes at our house one day, and he said, "My dad got me a good job, and I know I'm supposed to go with my dad, but I really, really want to stay with my father." And today, last weekend, they had 2,000 people at his campus in Florida. Come on, somebody, because you just do the best you can. And you stay faithful, and you keep on marching by faith. And there are times I wanted to kill him. There's times he wanted to kill me. Even last night, I sent him a text and asked him a question. I said, "Hey, did you send this text, blah, blah, blah?" And he said, so he made an excuse, right? We don't make excuses. So he goes, "Hey, I was really tired. I got up at 8, and I've been going ever since." I said, "Hey, I'm really tired. I got up at 6. I'm 47, and I'm actually getting you to do your job." That was a family text. And then his wife put, LOL. He didn't say nothing. Because I'm not saying that love isn't tough. I'm just saying love is love. I don't not love him, but I love him enough to know for you to grow, you got to see somebody going, go, go, go. You got one more in you. Do this right because it's right and do it's right. That's what we do. See what I mean? But you're not mean and belligerent. You're not hard. You're loving. I'm the same guy who makes him hold my hand in the mall sometimes, which is very awkward because we're two, they think, well, it's awkward for him. But I will hug him, I'll grab his cheeks because I love that boy. He's mine. And as a result, it's also raised up a bunch of sons in the house here. Like Paul, he's a son, campus pastor, but he's a son of this house. And I tell all my campus pastors, I go, you know what? Austin's no more my son than you're my son. He's not biologically my son, but I'm his dad. And I'm telling you what, Paul, I'm your dad. I'm proud of you. I honor you. I esteem you. You're amazing. Come on, give it up for Pastor Paul. Have somebody that believes in you. Have somebody that goes, go! Go, Paul! Go, Paul! Look at Paul! Go! Yo! Have somebody in your corner. Don't go where you're tolerated. Go where you're celebrated. And how do you start that? You start celebrating people. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm celebrating you today. So I'm going to let you take me out to eat to celebrate. Go ahead. All right, so I know I preached long, and I wanted to stream this to all campuses because I really felt like today was a day to kind of really recalibrate us to maximize the banner years at Weldon and Earth City at all campuses. You know, there's times where I could run up and down the highway, but then there's times where the Lord tells me, no, you're going to run up and down the highway, and I want you to spend that extra time, just live stream it on this beautiful Sunday morning, by faith, and you speak those words of wisdom so your life can be better. Are you okay with that today? Was that all right? Come on, give God praise. I want to pray for you. Nobody looking around, all campuses, I have a couple questions to ask you. I want you to raise your hand. Nobody's looking. How many of y'all think that the 11th commandment, thou shalt drop it, would be a good one for you? Raise your hand right now. You can put it back down. Another question. Were there things that even when I was talking that came up in your mind or spirit or maybe God spoke to you that I didn't even say, but you were in an environment that made you think thoughts that are proper thoughts that you would not have thought otherwise? Raise your hand if that, I have a question. Okay, you can put it down. Now, look at me just for a second. You, at all campuses, I want to tell you, just like I was saying to Paul, that I'm proud of him. I'm proud of you. The first way to become better is admit you got a problem. My dad, he didn't know how to have a good marriage. As a result, they didn't. So you learn wisdom from the house of God. So I want to pray for you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. God, today will be a day of freedom for them. Our city, Weldon, here. God, there's no distance in prayer. God, as their pastor, I thank you that they're not going to allow pride to stop them from implementing these ideas immediately, because pride will say, don't do it because your wife or your husband, or they're gonna think it was his idea. It doesn't matter whose idea it is. It wasn't my idea. It was God's idea. So let's all be humble and just implement these strategies. And Satan, I rebuke you over their mind, over their money, over their marriage, over their ministry, over their job. God, I thank you now that we've made these course corrections. We're not going to shipwreck. These are our banner years. We're not going to be a man overboard. We're not going to go. We're going to grow. Even when we're hurt, even when we're offended, pride starts fights. Humility stops it. And we pray this in your holy, precious name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a hand as you watch this.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.